So you grew up in Govan, is that
I
right?
grew up I was a wee boy in Govan, just during the war. Don't remember much about that though. I remember the horses and carts. There was a lot of horses and carts in Govan, and there wasn't too many lorries about. I remember maybe that was something to do with just after the war, everybody was skint, you know. I can remember getting the food out, the cooking for the food, you know, getting the first bar of chocolate for sixpence. That was a massive big treat. I never had anything like that. Yeah. But I used to follow the horses and carts, especially the one that was, you know, the water in the street, you know, keep the dust down in the summer, you know, and that's how they swept the streets these days. And we used to run after that and get all soaking wet. I suppose everybody's got that story. Everybody that's the same age as me would remember that as well, you know. I used to go down to the Cuthbertson's dairies, and the big Clydesdale horses there, and the men would let you in, and they'd let you be touching the grooming the horses, help them out with that, you know. That was really good memories. And then there was the terrible memory of Sanshu Hari. Apocryphal tale, Sanshu Hari. This guy was going to boot Govan. And what he would, a lot of the houses in Govan, the front door was right at the street. So you could open the door. Nobody locked their doors in these days. We had a check key stuck in the door for about 9 years, stuck on the outside. But what he would do, he would creep up and have his hand dipped in flour and open the door and stick it on round the door and laugh and run away, you know. So you'd be thought we'd sit in our house and see this white horn coming in the door, yeah. Fright our life. And that was he was a big bogeyman when we were boys. Sanshu Hari, because he wore a pair of sannies, and that's how he would run away and cause all sorts of trouble. These are the good memories. Playing round the back all the time, the back court. And, you know, you remember the men coming back for the war, they were all maybe couldn't settle back into life, and they were the street singers. They would come round the back courts singing songs, and the women, usually women, would throw them a couple of pennies out the window. I can remember these guys up at Buchanan Street subway station, because I never forget the song they sung. It was the song of the opera, you know, pretend opera. They were all guys that had been injured in the war, and they were all musicians, but maybe I'm thinking too fondly of them. Maybe they were all beggars, or I don't know, anyway. But they played the big accordion, and one of them belted out of the voice, and he used to sing a song, Yella Corti Bella Houston, you know, to that. Yella Corti Bella Houston, you know, he filled in all these daft words to make it sound like the opera, you know. That was the good times, you know.
What did you do after that?
After that, we got rehoused. We went to Sunnybar Lanark, which was just finishing being built, still being built when we went there. So it was all brand new and big and airy, and the Easter House hadn't been built. So it was all farms just across the Edinburgh Road. And that's where you used to wander up and make your way up to Hogginfield Loch. And that was a nice wee place to go for, you know, going to wee boats there and a wee pitching pot. It was quite a trek. But gradually got all built up, and different territories evolved then. So you had to be careful where you went about, you know. But didn't have too much bother, because we played at football, and you were kind of accepted by, if you played at football, you'd, as a passport, you'd go anywhere. You know, whereas some of the other kids didn't have it so easy, you know. They had to watch where they're going. And that's then we moved across the road to another house there, and it was all right. And things were still brand new, and then gradually things start to get a wee bit depressing. There are no shops, or the shops get vandalised, and there's no picture house. And remember, you had to walk to shelves, and used to go with my mother walking to shelves, and that's where she got her messages. Because these days you went to different shops for different things, and all the wee shops were still well open, and you get a good butcher, a good fishmonger, and then you'd be heavy laden coming back up the road. And it was always walking. It was a good 2 or 3 miles. And that was always a good walk, but coming past the old graveyard was quite frightening at times. Because there was the story of the policeman who was found dead there. And they sort of tried to work out that his uniform had caught on the barbed wire at the cemetery. And this would be, there's no street lights there, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd be walking past on his own, patrolling, and obviously grabbed by the barbed wire. And that was his story. Whether these stories are true, I don't know, but that was the sort of stuff he got, you know. And I left when I was old enough to go and start working the carpet factory. That was a heavy, heavy job. Big 600 weight carpets you had to shift about, put them onto a wee barra. And that was a skilled job. There was a big steel pole in the middle of them. They weighed 600 weight. And you had to lift that onto the barra yourself, which is a wee knack to it, you know, you get a wee twist and a wee jerk.
Yeah.
And it more or less bounces, otherwise you'd have no chance. But that was it. Now the wee wooden barra with only 2 wheels on it, so it flopped back and forward, but that was a hard, hard job.
Yeah.
Enjoyed the carpet factory, though. It was good fun. There was this guy, one of the owners, and he'd been in the war, and shell-shocked during the war, and he used to have these long, long holidays where the family would tell us he was away in Switzerland on holiday, but he was obviously away getting a wee bit of treatment somewhere. But he used to come in his Rolls Royce to the factory, and he'd come in with his bowler hat, and then the carpets all stood up, and then just like your filing cabinets here, only much higher, 12 feet, and it can be pretty dangerous when they're like that. And he used to go about and you pick up bits of fluff and selvage, and he would be throwing his hand grenades at you, and jumping out from behind carpets at you. That's mad as a hatter. But it was all good fun, you know.
Yeah.
happy days in the carpet factory.
What did that carpet cost in those days?
I wouldn't even know, you couldn't afford one. You couldn't buy a carpet if you're an ordinary person. You had to be the black market. Uh-huh. Or the wee man used to come and collect all the cuts, all the off cuts, and he would sew them all together. So you couldn't really tell if you're looking at the top. If you turned the carpet over, you'd see all the seams were all sewn up. But he made a beautiful job here. That's just that's the sort of carpets that ordinary folks would have, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't have the stuff that we were making, a lot of it was for export, so it was really high quality. And you had to sew it up in big Hessian sacks, and that was a skilled job. A big needle sewn up with a jute, you know.
Yeah.
But the only way we could afford a carpet is if it was in a sale, or the carpet factory let you buy it cheap because an order had gone wrong. But generally speaking, you couldn't be into that kind of world. You know?
No.
It's different now because they make all sorts of cheap rubbish now that you spit through it. But a nice one on the carpet factory is a guy, we called him Cherry Blossom. The carpets used to go from the ground floor up on a big roller. And so they'd get, when they're upstairs, you would call it flats, up to the upstairs flat, where they would be working on maybe the surface, and then go through another roller, come downstairs, so they could work on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd all treated well. We'd be upstairs working on the surface of the carpet. And Cherry Blossom would be downstairs, and he'd forget that he could see through the floor. And he'd get his wee tin of black Cherry Blossom boot polish and rub it on his bald spot. Because he had black hair, you see.
Yes.
That was a shame. That's what he did. Wee tin of Cherry Blossom boot polish rubbed on a wee bald spot. So he was known as Cherry Blossom. And another wee guy who was called Treb. He was called Treb because his big brother was a big fat guy, and we called him Beer Barrel. He's quite proud of that, by the way.
Mm.
So Beer Barrel had a wee brother who got called, naturally enough, Beer Barrel Bung, because he was a lot weird. And Beer Barrel Bung was a treble B, so that got shortened to Treb. So Cherry Blossom and Treb worked in the same machine. Couldn't make it up, could he?
Did you have a nickname?
No, I never had. Do you know, when I worked there, there was 9 of us in a squad, an Aaron squad, and we were all called some form of Wally or Bill or Billy or Wool or Billy. Every one is. You don't hear that nowadays. Kids are called Jason or whatever. They're not called Wally or Jimmy anymore, or Johnny, it's Davey. They're all gone.
Uh-huh.
But our nickname is called Wally. It's like being in Wales.
So it's a far cry to Helensburgh where you live now.
Oh, aye. Yeah, Helensburgh's quite a mixture of people. There's folk from all over the world in Helensburgh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite cosmopolitan. You hear all sorts of languages in Helensburgh.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's a good place to live.
Being by the sea, well, not the sea, is it?
Yeah, well, that's, suppose it's the Firth.
Yeah.
The Firth of Clyde. The seafront could be a lot better than it is. It's been neglected over the years. But it's a nice place to wander. We just had the cherry, Cherry Blossom Festival. That's exactly what it is. We had the Blossom Festival on Saturday and Sunday there.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there was no cherry blossom because the weather hadn't been good enough. Last year it was wonderful, but this year we did without. But we had some good shows on, a few bands on, and dancers and pipers, that sort of thing. It's a nice sort of thing to be involved in, you know.
Mm.